Hold on to summer with WBEZ at the Evanston Folk Festival this weekend. We're hosting tent talks with folk artists Bonnie Kolak, Sam Beam, Roseanne Cash, and more. Info at wbez.org/events.
Good afternoon, I'm Claire Lane, and this is The Rundown. The Illinois chapter of the American Civil Liberties Union is reminding people that a U.S. Supreme Court ruling today on gender-affirming care is limited to Tennessee. The High Court upheld that state's ban on health care for transgender minors. In a statement, Michelle Garcia, who heads the ACLU of Illinois, calls this ruling a setback. She said advocates and lawmakers in Springfield have, quote, worked to ensure that gender-affirming care is legal and available to all patients in Illinois. Several Democratic members of Congress were denied entry to an Illinois ICE processing center this morning. My colleague, Isabella Nietu, reports four Illinois U.S. representatives joined immigration advocates at the ICE processing center in Broadview following reports that the center is being used to detain immigrants. Representative Delia Ramirez says a staff member in the facility who refused to identify themselves told Representative Jesus Chuy Garcia to send an email requesting access to the facility.
They don't want us to shine a light on the ways that they're abusing the power of DHS to violate our rights, undermine due process, and tear our communities apart.
Democrats in other parts of the country have been arrested or detained for attempting similar actions, but that did not happen to the four representatives in Broadview. The city of Chicago plans to open cooling centers starting on Saturday as heat and humidity move into the area. The National Weather Service is expecting the heat index to rise above 100 degrees on Saturday through Monday. The cooling centers will be open through Tuesday. The city is warning residents to stay hydrated, stay inside, and wear loose-like clothing when the heat arrives. And just in time for the hot weather, all of Chicago's outdoor public pools will be open 7 days a week starting Saturday. Though all pools will be open for the first time since 2019, it will be a short season. The last time all 50 outdoor pools were open every day was before the pandemic. The pools will close August 17th, just before public schools restart. Carlos Ramirez-Rosa is the Park District Superintendent.
I think we can all really be proud of our Park District because they've worked to attract young people, to increase the pay, to be able to ensure that we have the staffing necessary to expand our pool schedule for this summer.
Lifeguards will make just under $20 an hour. The Park District had trouble drawing lifeguard candidates in recent years after a sex abuse scandal and a tight labor market. You're listening to The Rundown. When kids pass through the schoolhouse doors, they're supposed to feel safe and welcomed. That's not what happened to one black girl at a mostly white Chicago public school. Her story played out as the district has struggled to tackle a rising number of complaints of racism and other forms of discrimination. WBEZ's Sarah Karp tells us how the girl's mother is responding.
3 years ago, Sharon Hinton was thrilled when she got all five of her kids into Wildwood Elementary School. It felt like the work of God.
I uplifted Wildwood to everyone that would listen. Like, please send your kids to Wildwood. We have history at Wildwood. I know the curriculum is good, and I just love Wildwood.
The young mother knew her children would be different. They would be among the few black students in a predominantly white school. And most of the students live in the northwest side area around the school. It's filled with big, expensive homes. Hinton and her kids live in an older bungalow in a working-class community 8 miles away. But Sharon's younger sisters went to Wildwood years ago, and their mother raved about it.
So I wanted to get my kids in an environment that had, you know, top-notch curriculum so that they can excel later on in life.
Once the school year started, Sharon noticed a change in her oldest daughter. She was 10.
Sad a lot. And she just had it, like, she just was not herself in fifth grade. And I used to always ask questions like, are you okay? What's wrong with you? Like, to just try to pick her brain.
Over the next 2 years, Sharon heard from her daughter about kids being mean, calling her names, bullying her. She had some conversations with school staff about this. One time, Sharon says, the school let her know that her daughter had thoughts of suicide. They supported her daughter and gave her referrals for therapy. But also, school staff suggested that many of the issues were just normal friend dynamics.
Fast forward. October 24th of 2024, my daughter came home and told me that students had called her the N-word. I started asking more questions, and I'm just like, well, has this the first time that this happened? Like, can you tell me more?
Her daughter told her mother that things like this had been going on for 2 years, and no one was making them stop, and she began refusing to go to school. Sharon started asking hard questions. What exactly was happening, and what exactly was being done? She asked for records, but felt like the school was dragging its feet. She only got the records about her own daughter after she hired a lawyer.
What we saw in the records shattered me. Like, I could not believe that multiple instances of abuse were documented from fifth to now.
She got more than 200 pages of incident reports filled out by staff covering more than 2 years. In them, she learned her daughter was body shamed and touched inappropriately, repeatedly. Kids cut off the beads in her braids. In sixth grade, a student messaged her friend in school, writing, "Go tell her to kill herself. Tell her she's the N-word." It was one of many racial slurs. Her daughter told staff that she wanted to die more than once. But Sharon says until she read the incident reports, she didn't realize how many times. Today, the middle schooler feels like she tried to get someone's attention about the bullying, but no one, not even Sharon, her own mother, was listening. She recalls a meeting with her mom and the principal.
And I would tell her, I was like, this is bullying. My mom and her had a meeting with me, and she's like, it's over-exaggerated. And my mom was like, yeah, I know, she does it at home. And then I went back to class crying.
And I apologize for that.
You apologize this year?
Yes, because I didn't know either.
Sharon defends herself, but then breaks down.
This makes me so angry. Like, you guys don't understand why it makes me so angry, because all the signs were there and I just missed them. And my daughter was mad at me. Like, fifth and sixth grade, she was so mad at me. And I'm trying to figure out, why are you so mad at me?
Chicago Public Schools insists staff followed protocol and that they consistently monitored and supported Sharon's daughter. And they say Wildwood staff did a lot to help her daughter. They checked in with her, sometimes daily, giving her a safe place in the school to retreat. And they referred her to mental health services. All things the school district says can be effective for healing. Sharon says the students who said the N-word in October were given an in-school suspension. But she wants to know, what did or didn't happen to those accused before that? And what about a school that she says doesn't fully inform a parent and allows a student to be victimized for 2 years?
If you fail to report, if you don't report to the parent, there's an issue. Nobody wants to be held accountable for this, but someone has to be held accountable for it.
Citing privacy concerns, CPS would not say how the accused students were dealt with. Her daughter says some of them were sent to something called the kindness class. Records show the school knew it had a problem and planned anti-bias trainings, among other efforts to prevent racist behavior. Cases involving Sharon's daughter also were eventually elevated to a central office department that handles more complex investigations. An expert with a national organization focused on removing racial barriers to learning says training without accountability isn't enough, not just for students, but also for their parents. For Sharon, that dream of Wildwood has fallen apart. Her daughter, now a young teenager, left school this spring for intensive mental health treatment. She's been diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder. And Sharon asked that all her children be given safety transfers to a new Chicago public school next fall. Sarah Karp, WBEZ News.
Weather for today, thunderstorms or rain showers throughout the afternoon, high near 82. Tonight, cloudy, more rain on and off in the early evening, low near 65. Tomorrow, sun and clouds, slight chance of AM rain, high near 84. You can find the latest news whenever you want at WBEZ.org or on your radio at 91.5 FM. I'm Claire Lane. Thanks for listening.